Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, praise God. For the day is the day that the Lord has made, and I, you, we will rejoice and be glad in it. I am so glad. Moreover, I'm thankful to God. What God has done for me. What God has shown me. How much He loves me. How much He's teaching me to walk in faith and walk into what He says. I'd like to take you to the book of Colossians momentarily. And Colossians chapter 1 verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So, I give you that scripture so we can see what God is, can do. And I want to tell you today that there's no God like our God. No matter what nobody says, there is no God like our God. And He's the only one. He's the God that has made things possible for us. He's the only one that's made it accountable for us. And I just say, because if we, and Jesus Christ, we have redemption through His blood. He shed His blood on Calvary. He did, not we. He did, and not we. And I want to tell you something. The more we believe God, the more we're going to see what God is doing. And today I know there are a lot of people that are listening tonight out there. But I want to tell you, nobody but God can make this thing happen. See, I'm waiting on my brothers to come on the line with me. But I want to just say these words. Faith by hearing. Faith by hearing. Several occasions have occurred. Praise God. And so the more we trust God, the more we believe God. The more we trust God, the more we believe Him. One thing I will say to us tonight as we listen. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen, and praise the living God. Amen, amen. Hello out there. You doing all right?
Yeah, amen.
Amen, amen. How your day been?
My day's been good.
Well, praise the living God. Praise the living God. You know, I was just waiting on the apostle to come, but while you and I on here, today has been a day that I can say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God,
amen.
He has been good to us.
Yes,
sir. Amen. 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 He has been good to us. And there is no God like Him. Hallelujah. Amen. You got a word to say tonight?
Me?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
Okay, good.
No. Go ahead. What you getting ready to say?
I was just saying to say, I was waiting for, like you, waiting for the apostle if he's coming on or not.
Well, I'm going to give 5 more minutes and then we're going to keep on and just get on out. I want to talk right quick about faith for others. Faith for others. And I want to go to Mark chapter 2, verses 3 and 2 to 12. Number one, it says, 4 men brought up a man to Jesus, and they were eagerly discouraged. And here's why. When they saw how tough it was to go down through the roof. And, you know, when these people, we read in the scripture, it was tough. These 4 men brought this man who had palsy. They brought him down, and they couldn't get in the room. And so the best thing they had to do was tear the roof down. And so when they went through the roof, they found a way. When Jesus saw their faith, now I tell you, when Jesus saw their faith, He said He forgave the man of his sins. Now isn't that something? The faith, those 4 men who believed in that man, to take him down to the roof. So you and I both know in America that if we tell roof down, they're going to put us in jail to get somebody healed. Praise God. they're going to put us in jail. They don't have tan up our house. Put them in jail. They're messing up. And so, see, and then there's another about the centurion. He was a military foe. He began begging for his servant to be healed. And so you look at Matthew chapter 8, 5 through 10 to 13. See, and then the centurion, he was the soldier. He admitted his lack of claim. And he said, I don't have faith. He said, but I don't have the faith of the authority. I have authority as a soldier, but to have the faith that y'all talking about, not on. But, he understood and seemed to know what Jesus was talking about. So he cared for his sick servant. It must be a gentleman who had somebody working close with him that he loved and he trusted him. And you know how to, when you find somebody you can trust and love and you watch them move what they're supposed to do? His servant was healed. And when we see it, his servant was healed immediately. And I wanted to say this one other thing. I've mentioned two things. A mother came on the behalf of her own daughter. She was vexed. Now, you know, we got this happening today. We got some people we got to have faith for. We got to have faith for others. We know somebody in authority, got to have faith for somebody. And here is this man, this woman. Her daughter was vexed with a spirit. And his mother tried to excuse her. Jesus replied and made no excuses. That's what I love about Jesus. He made no excuses for us. I paid the price. Jesus replied to her that he was sent to her. He was sent to the Jews. See, here is I'll tell some people all the time when I will do this scripture. I said, when you find this scripture, you're going to find a difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. But here's what Jesus said. He said, I was sent to the Jews. They get the first bird first. And Jesus, the lady said, but Lord, we eat the crumbs off of the table. My God Almighty. That moved God. That moved Jesus. Jesus said, he humbly tried and said, because of your faith, he said to her, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And see, when we receive the healing, and I tell everybody, I said today, it's a matter of healing in the body, the mind, the circumstances. So I just say that I want to just pass it on because there's faith for others. We got to have it. And so I just give up the time to this great pastor that's on the line with us. Pastor Irvin, are you there?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's just funny. You're talking about the healing and having faith. I got faith, and I'm going out to Oregon. I got a brother right now that's pretty sick, and he needs liver. But I say that God's going to heal his liver. I believe that with all my heart.
I believe you.
I had to go out there Thursday and comfort the family and stuff like that, so I could use everybody's prayer that's listening in, because more so for their salvation. But
amen.
I do know that God can heal my brother because he has healed me, he's delivered me, he has set me free. God is amazing. What he do for one, he do for anybody. And I just want to reassure anybody out there that is sick, as ailing, that whether if you're afflicted with some kind of disease or anything else that's bothering in your spirit, that God can and will heal you and will deliver you. All you need to do is, like you said, Apostle, you said, all they need to do is humble themselves before the Lord and ask. And I know God will do it.
He will do it. So, I'm a living witness. I'm a living witness. Amen. And so.
Go ahead.
I'm listening for you.
Well, You know, I'm going to take you into Galatians 4.
Okay.
In Galatians 4, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be a lord of all. And what he's saying there in that particular verse, he sits there and says, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a servant or if you're the son of a king in the household. You're no different. You're the same.
Nope.
You know, because in Christ, we are immature.
Amen.
Until that day, he sits there and he reveals himself to us. You know, I can speak for myself and probably some of the other people out there that are in their late 50s, early 60s, and 70s. And you know yourself that your spirit is still young, it's still vibrant. You know, it's still full of energy and it's still full of joy, it's still full of life. And that will never dissipate. It is that our bodies, they grow old, they grow weak, and they grow tired. And that is a fleshly spirit that we feel that kind of conquers over, takes over the supernatural of our spirit that is in Christ. And that's something that we fight all the time. That's something that we constantly battle, is that fleshly spirit with the Holy
Amen.
Spirit. And, you know, and like I said, as we continue to read in Galatians, in the next verse, it says, but under the tutor of a governor until the time appointed of the Father.
That's it.
Just what I was saying, that we're all immature until God reveals himself to each and every one of us. You know,
it's
at that point in our lives that we need to accept the reality of the truth of the Lord as to who he is. And that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, we go down and it says, and even so we were, even though when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. That
uh-huh.
was because we were in the world before we knew who God was, and we knew who Christ is. I don't care if you're 65 years old. If you still don't know who Christ is, it's time maybe you better sit there and learn. You're still in bondage. You're still a child. Because you have not grown to the maturity of what God has wanted to bring you to, and that's to the heir of the throne of God, of heaven.
Amen.
And it makes no difference if you're 3 years old, and if you get the revelation at 3 years of age, or 2 years of age, or who Christ is, the maturity is that you still have to walk it out. You still have to walk out that maturity. You still have to, we stumble and we fall, because we continue to fall back, we go back to the elements of the world, something that we were raised in, something that we were brought up in.
Uh-huh.
Like I said once before, one of my other messages, I said, you know, when Jesus comes into our life, actually he's basically, the Holy Spirit is basically with us. He's all the time. If he's chosen, we're chosen. But the thing is that he is actually considered a foreigner in our spirit.
Yes.
Because we're born into the natural, and we're so used to wanting to continue to walk in the natural, because this is the things that we see, the things that we do, and everything else. And when the supernatural, when the Holy Spirit comes in, we begin to fight it because we don't understand it. We keep returning back to the empty well. We keep turning back to the empty trough.
Mm-hmm.
We keep turning back to the world and the things of the world and the gods of the world. And the gods of the world are those things that keep you in bondage and keeps you captive. Whether it be drugs, alcohol, lust, it doesn't make any difference. These are the things of the world that keeps us in bondage. And God continues to want to separate us and pull us out of that mess and out of that false life, the falsehood that was Satan has already set a trap for each and every one of us.
Amen.
And like I said, it doesn't make any difference. There are those who are great men of God who have fallen before us. You see it in the Bible. where they had that hope, they had that moment of weakness. But God comes back and he says to him, say, hey, look, you know, like he did Elijah. When Elijah took off running, he ran 250 miles. He outran a chariot, the horses. And he ran in and hid in the cave, and God had to come and say, hey, what are you doing in here? He had that moment of weakness, but God strengthened him. And sometimes that moment of weakness is an awakening in our own spirit, so we know where to go and how to grab a hold of ourselves and pick ourselves back up and continue that walk that God had for us in the first place. It's nothing to be ashamed of. And I'm talking to the saints right now that have made a mistake, that has fallen. You know, don't think it's over. It's not over.
It's not over.
All you need to do is repent. And it just be like those men that sit there and tore the roof off to lower the man in for a healing. You may have to tear the roof off your house and lower yourself down before the feet of the throne of God and sit there and say, God, I'm sorry.
Help me. Help me. Praise him.
Praise God. And he will lift you up. You haven't lost your air. You haven't lost what God has given you, what he has purposely given you, and for the things he has given you. You know, we a lot of times we fight that what the spiritual gifts are for the natural gifts. You know, even though we sit there and we say, Lord, you know, I would like to have a Harley Davidson. Lord, I'd like to have a mansion. Lord, I like to, those are all nice things and wonderful things. And God sits there and says, yeah, you can have them.
You can have them.
But you know, I would rather have those things that God has for me in the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
And we have no idea what that is. But what he does provide for each and every one of us, you know, is that he will make a way for you to get that Harley or that mansion.
Amen.
Or that he will make a way for you to be able to get these things. You know, that's because he says, and says, I love you. Yeah, you can have these things. But, you know, I think there's a scripture that says, yea, they seek me, yet they seek me not.
That's what it says.
And it's just, there's a point what he's talking about at that point right there in time. He's talking about the fact that, Lord, help me. Lord, can I get this? Lord, I want that. Lord, help me. Lord, I need this. Hey, Lord, give me that. Hey, Lord, help me. But if you ever stop and say, Lord, will you just hold me for a minute? Will you just love me? Will you just hold me? The difference between seeking me and seeking me not. You're seeking him for what you can get from him and not what he has to offer you. His eternal love, his peace, his joy, and all the kingdom of heaven. He's laid it right at your feet. He's put it in you. He's distilled it into your heart. He has given it to you, and all you need to do is lay down those fleshly desires and start seeking that which is of the heavenly desires, the godly desires. And we need, every time that flesh comes up, we need to rebuke it and cast it back.
Amen. That's it.
And set it down and step on it and walk on it and keep on walking. You know, so we can go back into the scripture here. I want to go down a couple verses here. Let's go down to here, verse 5. It says, to redeem them that were under the law, and we might receive the adoption of the sons.
Oh, God.
So, you know, if we go to Matthew 28, give me a second here.
Okay. Matthew 28.
It says, each as the Son of Man came not to the to be ministered but to minister on and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Yes.
That's it. He came for many. You know, it's unfortunate, and if you read that scripture, he says many.
Many.
All who will come to him, he will save. But it doesn't say that the whole world would be saved. In fact, if we look in scripture after scripture, it says that in the end times, two-thirds of the world will perish. Well, where they go, I don't know, you don't know. But we better hope and pray that we're right with the Lord, that when that time comes, that we depart from this earth, that we'll be in the kingdom of heaven, that we'll be in the arms of the Lord. But you know, he sits there and says, those who reject my son, I will reject. So, God, Jesus said he came for many.
Many.
Not all, but all who will receive him will be saved.
Amen.
You know, that's a scary point, a reality that each and every one of us has to check in our own heart. We get mad at God. We get all kinds of different things because we're fighting the Holy Spirit. We're fighting the flesh. We want. And you know, I want to be respectful here. You know, God is a very patient God. He is very patient, but he will bring a rod of correction.
He will. He will.
And I can testify to that. And so our job is those who are saints, those who are disciples, those who come to know who the Lord is and come to the full understanding of who he is, and the maturity that we walk in. And I'm talking to you saints. I'm talking to you apostles. I'm talking
Amen.
To you preachers.
Amen.
We need to be up and doing our job. I don't care if they're going to come and try to crucify you, cut your head off, or whatever. In Matthew, Jesus sits there and he says, you will be led to the slaughter. You know, he didn't tell us anything that's not going to happen to us, that we can't be surprised at. I'm speaking of these things because we're getting close to the end time.
We are. We've got to get it right.
We see that deal that the United States has made with Iran, and we give them $60 billion so they can fund their terrorist stuff. Israel, we are walking away from Israel, and God strongly tells us that we are to side with Israel and not turn our back on, because we turn our back on Israel, God is going to turn his back on this nation. Yes, he's going to turn his back on the world. Now, I've been in Jeremiah for the past week. I'm wondering why. I've already read this why. And I keep on seeing it, and I keep on hearing, and I keep on seeing all these things that God said that we're not to do, that is happening in this world. We're watching it unfold before our eyes. And those who are equipped to be able to sit there and reach out and touch and grab as many people as we can and say, hey, wake up and listen. Are we doing it, or are we falling back to the point where we're being silenced out of fear? God says we're not to fear. We walk in the boldness of the Spirit. God says we're not to fear, that we are to continue his work until the day he comes, whether it be 10 minutes from now, 10 years from now, or 10,000 years from now. But we are to equip the people. We are still continue to sit there and walk in faith and believe. Just as I believe in, I totally believe in that God will heal my brother. Just as I know that God has done so many other things in my life, and I know by asking in Christ's name and walking in that in the Spirit of the Lord.
My God.
I've gone out there to California where he lives twice, and him and his wife rejected. I am going out this time, and I'm hoping and I'm praying, and I pray for you people will be with me in prayer. that they will give their lives to the Lord for salvation. You know,
Amen.
To me that's more important than him having a new liver. But I know God will do both. I have faith and believe that God will do both. But you know, it just like anything else, you know, you can stand there with a gas pump, and unless you take the cap off the gas can, you can't put it in there.
See it, brother, see it.
You know, and God has the gas. We just got to get the lid off. And I'm hoping that you stand in prayer with me that their hearts will be ready to receive Christ. That's the thing, man. We need to be able to speak the word. God, give me the words to be able to speak to them this time that will open their eyes and open their hearts. And not just my brother and my sister-in-law and his family. I'm talking about anyone and everybody who comes in my path that I meet, that I would be able to speak a word, something into their lives. It doesn't mean I'm going to stand there and wait for the fruit to fall off the trees, because that's not my job. My job is not to sit there and wait and collect the fruit, because you know what? Dr. Hunter, you've already went ahead of me, and you already planted seeds, and you already watered, and you cultivated. I'm walking behind you, and I'm going to start picking your fruit. Praise God for the kingdom of heaven. Just as somebody is going to walk behind me, and for everything that I planted, everything that I've sown, everything that I've put into someone's life, somebody is going to reap that harvest. You know, that harvest is not for us. That what we plant is not really for us. It is for someone else.
Someone else.
We can read scripture, and we can see that where the Lord says that the fields are ripe for harvest. And also he sits there and he says that he would give us the vineyards that we didn't plant and the wells that we didn't dig. That's because somebody went before us and planted the vineyards and dug the wells.
Preach it, brother. Preach.
We are to be able to go forth, and we are forced to harvest that. That means your neighbors, your brothers, your sisters. That means your enemies. Praise God. He speaks about your enemies. He says, what good is it to sit there and give on to your friend, your neighbor? You know, why not give on to your enemy? Because there's more that you've given into that life of your enemy will be more greater than that is of someone who can repay you.
My God. Mm. Preach it, brother. Preach it. Preach it. Hey!
I'm just saying, guys. You know, and I'm not picking on anybody. God forbid, that's not what I'm doing. I'm just preaching what God has given me to tell people and to give into the Word. And he took me into Galatians 4, and I'm beginning to read that, and I began to pick it apart, and I began to see the different things in it. You know, and it says, in 6 it says, because you are the Son, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Abba, Father.
So Christ is in each and every one of us. And God says, if He is for us, then who can stand against us? And if Jesus had went to the cross and defeated everything and defeated death, and was raised and sits to the right hand of the Father, and he sent his Spirit to fight for us, then what do we fear? We fear the natural. We fear the flesh. We fear that what's going on in the world. We get into watching TV. We get into listening to the news, all the demonic, all the crap that's going on in the world. We're listening to it, and that fear is building up into us, that negative fear, that negative activity, all that stuff is building up in it because we're watching it, we're seeing it, we're absorbing it. And we're laying down with God, and we're not listening, and we're not paying attention to what we read in the Bible. In fact, at some point, I bet you I could walk into almost anybody's house and there'd be dust on somebody's Bible. I ask them, where's your Bible at? And they say,
Jesus. Tell the truth, brother.
So I'm just saying, we need to get back into the Word. You know, I told the story once of the grandpa. he told his little grandson, he sits there and he says, take this suit and go down to the creek and fill it up full of water and bring it back here so we can cook dinner. The little boy runs down to the creek and he fills the sieve and he puts water in. By the time he gets back up, all the water ran out through the holes. His grandfather looked at him again and said, son, I told you to go down to the river and fill this up and says and bring it back full of water so we can have dinner. The little boy ran down there again, filled the sieve up again, and he brought it all the way back up. Again, it was empty. His grandfather looked at him again and said, son, that bowl's empty. You need to fill it up. So the third time, the little boy comes back up with tears in his eyes and says, Grandpa, but it's got holes in it. He says, uh-huh. Yeah, I know, but he says, but the sieve is clean now.
See,
when we read the word, our spirit is like a sieve. Even though we don't know what we're reading, we don't understand the words that we're reading, even though we read it, and we read it again, and we read it again, we don't understand what we read, but those words are washing us. Those words are cleansing us. Those words are preparing us for the next day, the next meal, the next venture, the next game that God has presented to us, has for us, that we step out into. Because as a sieve, we all know that when we dip it into the soup or whatever it is and we pull up the vegetables or whatever, the meat clings to the sieve and all the rest washes out. All the water and all the other stuff washes out, goes through the hole, so you just have the meat. And that's what our spirit does each time we read the Word of God.
Amen.
Even though we don't understand it at times. But you know, when we stand there in the face of the wind, the negativity, and we talk to somebody, and all of a sudden these words come out of our mouths, and we go like, "Well, where'd that come from?" Well, it was a word that you read maybe a dozen times 6 months ago and didn't understand what it was you were reading, but that word was meant for that person that you spoke to. Don't be afraid to speak. Don't be afraid to open your mouth. Don't be afraid to speak to someone and tell them about Christ.
No. Praise God.
You don't even have to sit there and try to figure out what words you're going to speak, what words you're going to say to this person or that person. We don't need to, because the Holy Spirit will speak to you and speak those words as long as we take the chains off of Him, as long as we lay down the flesh, as long as we lay it down at our feet and only allow the Holy Spirit to move in us.
Amen. Huh? Preach it, brother.
You know, I don't know, this might be a pretty short message, brother, but I'm just saying, you know, we have to really and truly look at where we're going in life.
We have to
begin to sit there and stop looking at the negativity that's on TV. You know, we're mature enough, a lot of us are mature enough that we can watch some movies that they're like Harry Potter or something like that, and we understand and know the difference between what is real and so on and so forth. But that's the young kids are open to the demonic side of that with the witchcraft and Wicca and whatever thing else that's in that stuff. But you know, if you give them the Bible and you sit there and say, hey, read a chapter today, read this verse here, we sit there and we start washing them just like that sieve.
Yeah.
We just say, read this. Well, I don't understand it. Just read it. But I don't understand it. Just read it. Because eventually those words will stick to his spirit.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Teach it, brother. You're teaching tonight. Teach it. You are teaching tonight. Amen.
You know, amen, amen. I hope that there's somebody out there that has been struggling, and I'm trying to get a word out to you to make you understand, that you would see and hear what I'm trying to say. You know, we have to let that fleshly spirit go so that we can once again start walking hand in hand with the Lord. That we can once again start to see what he has for us. You know, like I said, there's so many things out there. I get so many people from all over the world. And it's unfortunate because they all expect Americans to be rich. Yes, even some of the people, I'll tell you what, in welfare make more money in a year than most of those people in those third world countries, I should say in a month, than they make in a year. You know, we can see, I think in New York, I think the average person on welfare makes almost $50,000 a year. And yet they consider themselves living in poverty. When you know, when there's people, when I was in the Philippines, they made a couple of dollars an hour, if that.
Amen. I understand. Praise God.
You know,
amen.
And so they think we're rich, but they don't realize and see the economy. They don't see the difference.
Oh,
you
no.
know, in that what we're doing and everything else, and we portray a rich life. And which we know, each and of us, I'm speaking to a lot of these people right now, we're struggling.
Yeah.
We're struggling, and it's going to get harder. We're seeing the Greek defaulted, and we're seeing the ripple effects. We're seeing each time we go to the store, the price of bread keeps going up. You know, in the scripture,
amen.
It says that
praise God.
Man is going to work the whole day for a loaf of bread.
Praise God. Keep preaching, brother.
You know, these are the things that we need to understand and see is coming, and we need to be prepared, and we can't be prepared by walking into the flesh, but we have to begin to walk into the Spirit of God. And he
Man.
Said that those of us who are in Christ, we will suffer. We will suffer these things, but we won't have to be held to bondage. We won't have to be going back to that beggarly life. Because he will continue to provide for us. But we got to have the faith, and we have to believe. We have to have the faith and believe, just as those men pulled the roof off that house and lowered that sick man down before Jesus' feet.
My.
We cannot turn to the left or to the right. We cannot stumble. We cannot stutter. We have to stand firm. We have to stand firm. And that spirit that's come upon you and me, and the Holy Spirit that is a stranger, we need to embrace.
Amen.
Beings don't like change. Very few human beings like change unless it's change for the good. And a change for the good, we don't understand, well, other than the fact that say, hey, we got a new job. Hey, I'm making more money. Hey, okay, my truck broke down, so I got me a new truck. Hey, okay, well, I got to move out of this city because I got to go up and start working in Tupelo, Mississippi. They bagger on that. They're saying, well, oh, God, now I got to move. I got to pick up all this. And, you know, and we do the same thing with Christ. We do the same thing in the Spirit. We do the same thing over and over and over to him, that we sit there and he wants to change us. He wants to move us. He wants us to pick up. Maybe he wants us to move across the street. Maybe he wants us to go somewhere else. Maybe he just wants us to sit and be still. And in that change that he wants to make in our lives, to better our lives, we fight it. And we got to stop that.
Teach it, brother.
We
got to
leap and relent ourselves to that of the Holy Spirit, so he can do what he wants to do in us and for us. You know, you realize that every Christian, every man and woman that has given their lives to the Lord, if we didn't fight the Spirit of God and we didn't fight the things that were going and we left the earthly things, you understand what this world would be like?
My. Preach it, brother. Preach it.
You understand what we could be having today? Do you understand the significance that it is that, you know, instead of beating up the Holy Spirit and beating up God because he wants to change our lives, and then that we want to relinquish the natural for the supernatural? Do you understand what we're losing out on? And the more that we gain into the kingdom of heaven, the more we bring into the kingdom of heaven, the greater the victory is.
Amen.
Because even if I sit there and brought someone in and they left and they went to Oklahoma, by the time I got to Oklahoma, they have sit there and they've already set the precedence that I walk in, the harvest would be there.
Mm.
Do you understand the significance that it is that everything that we do in someone else's life, everything that we give on to someone else, how it manifests in our own lives?
My God.
But as long as we sit there and continue to hold on to the things of the natural, and we can continue to fight God, and we continue to fight the Holy Spirit because He wants to change us, and yet we cry out, "Oh Lord, change me! Oh Lord, I want more! I want more!" And He said, "There, He says, you got to grow up first. You got to mature.
Got to mature."
But through maturity, you can gain more. Because like I said, our spirits, from the time we're born, is already mature. That we, in the natural, have to walk and wake into it and walk into it, and we have to express it, and we have to walk and understand. And then it's the same thing when the Holy Spirit awakens our spirit, our inner spirit. He comes in. Then it's a whole new process. We have to walk, and we have to understand. And we have to take those challenges. It's like taking baby steps all over again and continue to walk. And then we get our feet stable and we can start to run. And when we start to run, the next thing you know, we can fly.
Amen. Amen.
God says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And how can it be at hand if you got your feet planted in the earth?
Said, brother.
You know, if you go back and you sit there and say, let's see where it is. How about then when you were not a God, you did not serve unto them, which by nature are not God. That's what I was talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Is walking in the world, we're serving God in this world that we're so frequently that we know so well. And those are the ones that God tells us we have to set aside, and only Him, only receive Him, to be able to sit there and walk in Him, walk with Him, and denounce all these other gods in our lives. These things we need to set apart. Then, and only then, will we be able to see the manifestation in our lives and in the kingdom of heaven that's at hand before us, and we'll be able to see it in our families, our children. We'll be able to see it in our neighborhoods, and we'll be able to see it throughout the nations. You know, as we pray for the nations, we can pray for the nations, and we can pray for the leaders of the world. We can pray and pray and pray until we stand up and take a step in that direction of the prayer that we prayed and asked God for, and for that healing, for whatever it is that we have to be able to receive it, and we have to be able to begin to talk it. We have to talk it and bring it into existence. And God's not going to move if you're sitting in a chair praying. You need to get out of the chair, and what you pray for, you need to go after. And if that means a change in your neighbor's heart, changing your neighbor's life, get those gangbangers off the streets, and you're not talking about going out there and whipping them, but being loving on them, talking to them about Christ. Not to fear them. I'm talking about those that are out there in the world that are lost, that we need to be out talking to, because if we can continue to train them, because they'll know what the difference is between the life they're in right now, the misery and the pain and the ugliness that they see day in and day out with no hope. We can show them a hope. We can show them a different life. We can show them a different attitude. We can show them things in Christ that they've never experienced and never seen. You know what a difference this world will be?
Amen.
We as saints need to be able to sit now and get up and walk that walk and talk that talk and not sit in a chair and expecting God to do something he told us to do.
Amen. Preach it, brother. Preach it. Preach it, brother.
I'm about ready to close here. I mean, I don't know how much time I got left, but
You got 15 more minutes, clear.
15 more minutes. Praise God. I can talk about my red. I can talk about my red gun.
Yes,
no,
sir.
I'm just messing. God's good. God is good. There's no two ways about it.
Yes,
but you know.
Indeed.
Amen. Amen. But you know, in reality, sometimes even I'm harsh in some of my words that I preach and I speak. But you know, it's through that harshness that it breaks the egg. It breaks that egg so that we can be able to get inside to be able to talk to somebody. Sometimes it opens somebody's eyes. Don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid to sit there and do it in love. You know, you just don't go in and smash them and expect to get a scrambled eggs. You know, we got to put a little heat on it. But we got to do it in love.
In love. We got to do it in love. That's the only way.
And doing it in love is sometimes, like I said, you know, listen. I was going to church and I was living with a woman. And I was expecting God to bless me and bless me and bless me. And the pastor knew that I was in church, and he knew that I was living with this woman. And he should have stood there and told me and said, hey, look, you're come up here to this altar all the time asking for this and asking for that, and you're in tears, and you're tearing apart and everything else, and yet you're living in sin with this woman. How do you expect God to bless you?
My God, preach, brother. Woo! Tell the truth.
You know, I thank God for that man because he did speak the words and so on and so forth. But the words that he needed to speak, he was afraid to, because I don't know if he was afraid to offend me. But how many times as mom sat there and says, don't touch the stove because it's hot.
That's it.
How many times has dad sat there and said, don't go over there? But why? Because I don't want you to. But why? I'm telling you, don't go over there. And you go over there, and next thing you know, you come home, and you got a fat lip, or you get something happen else, and you know, and you're going, well, I told you not to go over there.
Yes.
So, we, as heirs of the kingdom of heaven, we need to be able to be straight and forward with some of the with the people. Regardless if they're in our congregation, whether they get up and get offended and they leave. But at least the word is straight and their blood won't be on your hands.
Amen.
Think about it. It's not just about you going up and say, hey, I want to tell you about Jesus. I don't want to hear it. Well, listen, brother, you need to know because there's heaven and there's hell. I don't want to hear it. You say, well, you know what? That's okay because the blood's off my hands. It's on you now. But you know what? It also works. That if we see our brothers slipping, we see them falling into adultery, we see them falling into unrighteousness, we see them, and if we don't speak up and bring a correction, out of the fear that they're going to leave your congregation, I'm going to tell you, you're going to be held accountable for it.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
We need to be able to stand firm, and we need to be able to tell them, say, hey, look, you're wrong. I love you. You need to do one or two things. You either marry her and make it right, or you need to decide what you're going to do, but you're not going to be able to hang around in this congregation and bring that into our congregation. That sounds harsh, but you know what? When you get up there to heaven, what is God going to say?
There was
10 maidens. Five made it, five didn't. Whether they were all into the same congregation, whether they were all in the same city, they all came from the same city, they all went in and five left to sit there and take care of business, to get new oil and get whatever else they could get, and the other five were ready to go. God closed the door. Is he going to close the door on you because you didn't sit there and take care of business here? Is he going to sit there and say, well done, my good and faithful servant?
My.
Or is he going to sit there and say, hey, what happened to Bob and Phyllis? What happened to Mark and John? And what about them other ones that I sit there and sent to you? How come you didn't bring the correction it needed to bring? I'm bringing correction to you and you right now. Depart from me. Those are some harsh words that someone is going to hear.
Amen.
So you want to fear God? This is the fear that you need to be able to fear. Because we're under grace right now. But
we are
under
grace. You got it, brother. You got it.
There's going to be a time. And how is he going to judge us? Are we faithful in the little things? What little things? What that little things? Like telling Bob, you know, hey, you need to get out of that relationship or you better make it right. Hey, you know, I know you like your beer and I have nothing wrong with you drinking beer, but you know what? When you're drinking a case of beer a day and beating your wife, well, I got a problem with that.
I do too. Likewise. A real problem, huh?
Yes, exactly. So, you know, as brothers in Christ, you know, we need to be able to step up and we need to be able to step out without fear. And like I said, sometimes that moment of hurt, sometimes it's just embarrassment. But you know what? In the end, in the reality of it, that all heals.
My God.
And most of the time, they will come back at some point in time and say, hey, thanks, I really needed that. They may not do it at the moment. They may grumble. They may cuss you out. They may sit there and figure you're the worst thing that ever walked out of, crawled out from underneath the rock. But, you know, in reality, your heart be right with the Lord because you did what you needed to do, and it's up to that person to receive it.
Amen.
It's not for you and I to judge how he received or what he receives. It's like that sieve where the water runs through and the meat clings to it. And if we have meat that we need to put into someone's life, let their sieve, let that separate, let that draw that water, uncleanliness, and let it flow throughout the holes and let the rest of the meat stick to the sieve, to the soul. This is what God has called us. This is what God has called us to do. These are the things that we need to be doing. We need
Amen.
To be turning off TV. Yes, we need to be knowledgeable of the things that's going on in the world, but God says don't fear it.
Don't fear it.
We can tell the days and the nights and the summer and the winter and everything else, but God sits there and says, why are you looking at that? Why aren't you judging the seasons? What season are we in? We're seeing it right now. We're seeing this stuff unfold. We're seeing God cracking open the different books. We're seeing the wrath of God being poured out upon the nations and upon the world. We're seeing the veils being open, and each one. We're seeing this thing happening. You know, we got to know what season we're in.
That's it. Preach it, brother. Preach it.
We got to know the time that we're in right now.
That's it.
And, you know, we're not supposed to think of ourselves, but we're supposed to think of our brothers. We're supposed to think of those out there in the world who hasn't heard the word of God yet. You know, I got a lot of people in different ministries. You know, if you want to get with me and if you want to be able to, we got people that are in Pakistan that are in refugee camps that we have ministers over there that are feeding the Christians that are being slaughtered, that were being taken out of running from one country into another country. You want to bring, you know, if you want to help, you know, there's ways and vessels and things that we can do to help those. And there's different things that we can do. You know, even here, we're watching here where they're passing laws that we can't feed the homeless on the streets anymore. You know, these are the things. We're looking at the seasons, the time of the seasons. And as Christians, we need to be able to sit there and stand up and say, this is wrong.
I hear you, brother. I hear you.
We need to be able to stand up and say, then speak the truth and not fear.
My
not fear the consequences.
Not
we're
fear.
Seeing people, we were seeing people who are speaking out, and these liberals and everything else are coming at them. They're attacking them. You know, the liberals are the ones that's going to be here during tribulation.
Oh, my God.
And they don't understand it. They are going to be the ones because they have no God, they have nothing, and everything is okay, everything is free, everything is good, everything is the way it's supposed to be. Because we don't have to worry about God because there is no God, so everything is right.
My God.
Everything is turned upside down. We're seeing it. We're seeing the season that we're in.
My God.
We're seeing the times, and we need to be stepping out. We need to be able to change the hearts and change the minds and change of the people. God is in the salvation business and the redemption business.
Amen.
We are the ones that are supposed to speak, regardless whether they hear and want to receive what you have to say or not. That's not us for us. That is for the Lord. But we need to be able to step out without fear. If the liberals have it, we're going to be closed in the little boxes and set in the church, and we're going to be able to have to whisper the things that we want to speak about Christ, because we're not going to be able to speak it from the rooftops or on the street corners.
That's it, brother.
Sodom and Gomorrah, we're watching it rise up.
It's rising.
And we can still stand the hand of God upon this nation and upon the world before that day, that awful day. Most Christians are saying, Jesus, come quickly. And even in his word, he sits there and says, he tells us this, why do you want me to come? Because my wrath.
Say it, brother. Say it.
Why are you wanting me to come? When I come with my wrath. We are doing things out of fear. We're doing the things that we should not be doing. We're doing the things that God has called us to do that we're not doing, because we're asking God to come, take us away. We're shutting down, and we don't need to be. We need to be standing up.
Standing up. Amen.
We're speaking the word. God says,
amen,
if you speak the word, it will go forth.
It'll go forth. That's what it says. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well,
amen.
Well, let's see. We got someone on the line. Hold on. Amen. Hello. How you doing, sir? Hello?
This is Hanchett.
How you doing?
Oh, I need the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm truly blessed by the best, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, is there something you want to say tonight to us?
Yes, I want to talk to my fellow Christians, my baby Christians and my bona fide Christians. I just want to tell them that, you know, the anger that we might have because of the fact that they passed the rule on the homosexuality thing. But I say that God's kingdom is going to be tested. God's kingdom need to keep on doing what they're doing and reaching souls. Allow those people that are hurt, and that's where they went to for hurt. God's got a little thing for them that they're going to get them right there, and next thing you're going to know, they're going to have a divorce court. Then they're going to come back to God's kingdom. Even the atheists do it. Because my ministry is all about saving souls. So therefore, you know, he showed this to me. And as I watched television, I listened to Bishop T.D. Jakes and Minister Joel Osteen and John Hagee. They talk about that, but they don't want to just sit there and drive on it, because they realize that God has given Lucifer dominion over this earth. We have choices. That is their choice. But our choice should be, let's go out to these bus stops. Let's talk to these people on these bridges before the world talks to them. and sends them to these gay bars and say, hey, well, you know, you homeless, you want to stop being homeless, you be my wife, and it's another woman telling her this. If we go out there and we show them how they can get these grants to go to college, study God's word, study math, study science, and so that's what I wanted to elaborate on is how reaching out from the north to south, to east and the west, and you speak two different languages, that's even more beautiful. Have the Bible in your hand, so you have to go there with your sword. You have to be trained up and go there with your sword. And a lot of times, everybody, you cannot reach. You know, you cannot, they won't be able to absorb everything you're saying. That person is not for you. Dust your feet off, go to the next person, because I did that. You're just like someone was talking to me, they want to know, well, do you have a building? Do you have a church? I said, no. I mostly operate my ministry over the radio, over the internet, to the judges and to the bondsman people. And then I go into buildings and bus stops. And I said, I have souls.
Amen.
And God has given me things that nationwide.
Amen.
But I have been blessed with people wanting to pour into me and, you know, start a church, you know, with me, but I don't have the wisdom or the knowledge to know how to do it. I'm not going to turn them down. I can leave them to other people because the opportunity is there.
Amen. Well, hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Just hold on. Let me see. Hold the line. Hello? Are you there?
Hello?
Hello? Yes.
Hi. I just wanted to say, you know, I've had a lot of this is Jacob Mitchell from the Oddcast podcast. It's on Spreaker.com. I just wanted to say that I fully support this podcast, and I'm very thankful that, you know, there's some really good atheists on the internet.
Chris is on this video.
Oh.
Hello?
This is the prophet.
Go ahead, prophet. Speak the word. Go ahead.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Hunter. God is a faithful God. I thank God for the ministry that God has given to you to reach the world through the media. God is hearing the prayers of his children. Father, we thank you for this powerful medium through which your word goes forth. Anoint my lips of clay that I will speak as the oracle of the living God. Lord, touch your people, strengthen your people in the radio land. Touch our nation and touch our leaders in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank God for answered prayer. Dr. Hunter, I have a small message and it is burning in my heart and I want to share it with our friends on the radio land.
All right.
Yes, the topic that I want to share is let the true God show up, and let the false gods shut up. This morning,
glory.
The topic is let the true God show up, and let the false gods shut up. It's a challenge. Yes, it's a challenge at Mount Carmel. And when I was reading it, the Holy Ghost started to speak to me. There are many false gods in this world, and they need to shut up. And let the true God, our God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the living God, the God of Israel, he will show up. He will show up for us because he answers prayers. If we look at the challenge in Mount Carmel, he said, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that he said unto him, art thou he that troubled Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Baalim. The world have forsaken the true God. They have followed false gods of this world. And God is exposing all these false gods in these last days. And our true God will show up. Now, therefore, send and gather me, all Israel, unto Mount Carmel. And the prophets of Baal, 450. And the prophets of the groups, 400, which eat at Jezebel's side. I tell you, there are two spirits that is raging battle in this world. The spirit of Jezebel and the plan and the goal of the spirit of Jezebel is to destroy the people of God.
My God.
There's another spirit called the spirit of Elijah. And the spirit of Elijah is a spirit of prophecy. We speak the word and we expose the spirit of Jezebel. Glory be to God. My topic today is the God that answers by fire. It is a true God. And it came to pass. I'm taking it from 1 Kings chapter 19, chapter 18, 29. And it came to pass when midday was passed, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, or any that regarded. That's right. This competition and this challenge at Mount Carmel was between Elijah, the living prophet, we're calling the prophet of fire, and the false prophets of Queen Jezebel. He said, let's see who is the true God. Make up your sacrifice. Call upon that your God. And let's see which God answers by fire.
My God,
they cried, they called themselves, they mutilated themselves, they cried from morning till evening. Elijah said, maybe your God may have gone to the toilet. Maybe he has gone on vacation. Maybe he is deaf. Cry unto him. He mocked them, and they cried. Blood was gushing out of their body, but there was no answer. There was no answer. These are false gods. They got no answer. The hour was late. God could not produce a thunder or lightning. He had no voice, no clouds. God's expertise was shown to be defective. And that's what we see in the world today. All these false gods that are out there, God is exposing them. They are defective. They are false. They have seduction, and they have no power. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. 1 Kings 18:30. Elijah drew the people, contrasting his prayer against the antics of the Baal prophets, false gods that remained quiet, calm, and confident. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of Judah. Unto the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar. And when he made that trench, he said, pour water upon this sacrifice. And they poured the first, the second, and the place was flooded. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art the God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. 1 Kings 18:36. Elijah called upon the Lord, say, hear me, O Lord, hear me, O Lord, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their hearts back again. Glory be to God. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood,
Amen.
And the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Our God answers. Our God answers. And when all the people saw that they fell, they saw the fire fell and consumed the sacrifice, including the water, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. Glory be to God. Amen. He is the true God. He is the true God. He showed up. I want to tell the people on the radio land that our God will show up for you on your behalf. I want to tell the people on the radio land that our God is living and is a true God. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego called upon him, he showed up. When Daniel called upon him in the lion's den, he showed up. When Paul and Silas called upon him in the prison. He showed up. Our God is a faithful God. He has never failed. He will answer our prayers. He will fight our battle. In the name of Jesus, I say unto you, my brothers and sisters in the radio land, our God will show up. Our God will show up. He will speak. He will deliver. He will set the captives free. Glory be to God. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink. For there's a sound of abundance of rain. You know, when Elijah prophesied, because of the sin and the wickedness of the people, that there'll be no rain for 3.5 years in Israel. It happened as he prophesied. Now Elijah is prophesying. He said the rain will come. He prayed 7 times and the rain came. I want to tell the people that God is about to send his abundant blessing upon his people. We need to put our confidence and trust in this God that cannot fail. Our God will show up on your behalf. Our God will fight your battle. He's a man of war in the name of Jesus. The world is being deceived. The world is being blowing the idolatry. But our God, the God of Elijah, the God of Abraham, the God of Israel, will show up on our behalf in the name of Jesus. Victory belongs to the children of God. The power of God shall flow in the name of Jesus. And the wicked will be exposed. All the false gods will be exposed. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And so my message today is, let the true God show up, and he will show up. And let the false gods shut up. Either you show up or you shut up. And the world and the false gods in this world are being silenced because they have no power. And they have no power. But our God has all the power. Our God can open the blind eyes. Our God can make the crippled to walk. Our God can make the deaf to hear. The God that we serve can make the blind to see. Oh yes, our God can resurrect the dead. Oh yes, he cried out and said, Lazarus, come forth. That Lazarus has been dead for 4 days in the grave. But yeah. Jesus came to remove the stone. And they removed the stone and he called forth Lazarus. And Lazarus came out from the grave with the grave cloth. He said, remove, loose him and let him go. And Lazarus, that had been dead for 4 days, came out alive. He proclaimed that he is the true God. No man has ever done such. He proved that he is the true God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the true God show up. Let the true God show up in this world. And he's doing that already. All we need to do is to trust him. I'm talking to somebody this powerful prayer ministry. I'm talking to somebody that God will show up on your behalf. Don't be discouraged. Don't be hopeless. Don't be weary. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. This is your hour for your breakthrough. The God of Elijah is your God. A God that answers by fire. He answered when Elijah called. And God answered the prayers of Elijah. God is answering our prayers. God is producing the spirits of Elijah worldwide. Men and women that will pray the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. It will take the power of prayer to change this nation and to change this world. And God is raising up Elijahs all over the world. And God is answering our prayers. Let the true God show up. And let the false God shut up in the name of Jesus. Because their God is false. Deception. Amen. God is opposing them. Glory be to God. Thank you, my brother. Our God is a faithful God. He's an Amen. Awesome God. Call Amen. Upon him in the day of trouble. And he will answer you. He's the way maker. He said, I'm going to remove obstacles, sin hindrances and stumbling blocks. I'm going to make a way where there is no way. I will heal your body. I will strengthen you. I will empower you. I will fight your battle. He fought for the people of Israel. When they crossed the Red Sea, when the enemy tried to do so, they were drowned. He's a man of war. Our God will fight our battle. Our God will deliver us. Our God will make a way where there is no way. Hallelujah. Thank God for answered prayer. Let the true God show up and let the false God be silent. Because they are false, and they are no true God. and God is exposing the false gods of this world. Thank God.
Amen.
We give God the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And
amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Dr. Hatchett, are you on? Hello, Dr. Hatchett, are you on?
Hello?
Yes, are you on?
I'm still listening. I was just getting fed.
All right, all right. But I want you to do something because we got about another, we got some more time. I know that you were saying something, but God has a word through you. Can you give it to us? God gave you something to tell the nation. So go right ahead.
Underneath the blood of Jesus, barren generational curses, barren stinking thinking, barren 360, barren the bank of poverty, underneath the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, the right people in our lives and the wrong people out of our lives, wisdom with the Holy Bible, wisdom with the Holy Ghost, and wisdom with the Holy Spirit, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, wisdom, guidance, and direction. With our ministries in this world, with the churches in this world, with the spiritual world, saving souls for this kingdom, for God's kingdom. Let no evil rise up against us in your name, Jesus. Your grace, your mercy, your healing, your forgiveness, your character, your class, your discernment with the Holy Bible, discernment with the Holy Ghost, and discernment with the Holy Spirit. Memorizing Bible scriptures, being the walking Bible, sold out Christians. From the top of our heads down to the soles of our feet, our 24-karat gold future. But the devil let the evil turn around for our good. From the north, the south, the east, and the west, the four hemispheres of this world, just capturing souls from God's kingdom, our fivefold ministry. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.
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 Amen. Well, one thing I will say tonight to those of us who are listening, we have been blessed by what God is saying to us. And so the time that I will say to all of us that are listening, a great ministry has been involved. And I will say this, tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, we're going to have a ministry. It's called Prayer for the Nation from 7 to about 10 o'clock. But I want to do this tonight before we leave the line. Father, in the name of Jesus, somebody, your phone, please. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
That's right. Mute your phone. Father, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come this night with thanksgiving for the blessing that you have bestowed upon us. You have allowed your beloved one, and we said thank you. 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 And we praise you, and we love you, and we adore you, and we magnify your name for all that you have done for us. And then, Father, tonight that we've heard your word from the pastor, from the apostle, from the teacher. And we just want to say we love you and we thank you. But, Father, here we are tonight just believing all things that work together. Because the deal that was made, it was to show us how close we are to your return. And, Father, we just believe that you're watching over Israel and you're standing by Israel in the New Jerusalem. And we just said thank you, Father, for your word. For your word says in Hebrews 1, who God at past time spoke to us by the prophets. But now you speak more better by the Son, Jesus Christ. And for this we thank you. And you've given them charge over the wholeness of the earth. And no matter what is the one is saying, what they believe. Because we believe the days we now live in, Father. We want to be a right God. We want to stand God with you. We want to stand in the right place. And I want to thank you tonight for all that are listening to us. Even the man who came on and thought that we were atheists. And I want to, I just defy that spirit. I declare and decree we're not atheists, we're believers of God. Hallelujah. And we just want to say thank you, Father, one more time. And then, Father, somewhere across the 50 states in America, Somebody needs a hand from Jesus. Somebody needs a touch from the love of God. Somebody. But we pray that they will come to the understanding and know that it's Jesus Christ and not somebody else. Not a man, as Paul said. The words I got did not come from a man. They did not was given to me by a man, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I pray this day, Father, that those of us on the radio line, that we be more in tune to praying and giving and believing and taking your word. Lovest thou me, lovest thou me, lovest thou me. And Father, I just want to thank you for the 17th chapter of St. John, where you say to the word, and you say in the word, you said, Jesus, you said you lifted up your eyes and you call upon the Holy Father. And you say the hour has now come. And Father, because the hour has now come, we know that we're getting ready to spend eternity with you. I want to thank you for my son. I want to thank you for my son's wife to me. I want to thank you for my son-in-law, Kevin. I want to thank you for my daughter. I want to thank you for my two grandsons, Kobe and Logan. I want to thank you for B-Man. I want to thank you, Father, for those on the line who have sons and daughters, who have nieces and nephews, and those somewhere in the sick places, Father. We ask that you can give us. It's not us stop looking to the left or to the right, but lift up our eyes, as was said by the prophet. Let us look unto the Lord who has made us. When, let him arise, the God of fire. Let it this hour, Father, for we need to be in a revival. I am in revival. We are in revival. And, Father, we just say thank you. We want to believe you right now because we see blind eyes being opened, deaf ears being unstopped. We see extension of limbs. We see those who are sitting in sidewalks, they're getting up out of their bed. And we just say, we want to thank you. I want to thank you, Father. I want to thank you for my wife, Marty. I want to thank you most over for all that you have done for us. How you have kept us over these years. And you've shown us your way and not our way. But, Father, we just call upon the name of Yeshua HaMashiach that you can just continue to use us and bless us and let us be what you have us to be. And then, Father, because we just say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. And to everybody that's on the line, until the next time, I will see you. And the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. And remember my words, I love you, I love you, I love you. There ain't nothing you can do about it. So until the next time, God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.